love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift your name on high. And I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift. Somebody say you came from heaven. Lord, I live. Say, Lord, I lift, Lord, I lift your name on high. I'm so glad. Somebody say you came.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace, your mercies, your love, through all of which we have this awesome privilege to be in the land of the living one more day, one more time. God, we take this opportunity to use the breath in our lungs to acknowledge you, to thank you, to praise and worship you because of who you are. Much more than what you have done. You're worthy. Even as your word says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, thou art worthy to receive praise, honor, glory, dominion. Even this salvation we have, you deserve all the glory. We thank you, God. And God, as we just go into your word this hour, we just pray that you will speak to our hearts by your spirit. It's out of my hand, God. I don't know what I'm doing, but you do. And I put my trust and depend in your spirit. Speak your word. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We just ask that you turn to Galatians chapter 3. Not going to be before you long. And as proof of that, I don't have no devices up here. I have the original iPad.
Here you go.
The original laptop right here. Before there was touch screen, you had to touch this first. Amen. Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to be all over the place. Just let y'all know that. And to me, I'm not going to even make any sense. But I just pray the Holy Spirit take it and make sense of it. I know he will. Amen. And listen, I'm going to start reading in verse 15. And to the end of the chapter. Thank God for praying through Galatians. Amen. I just thank God for that ministry. Amen. I'm just blessed God for even having the opportunity to be a part of it. It is more than to anybody. It's been a blessing to me. It's been a blessing to me. And I pray that personally, it's the same for you. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man this annulleth it or add thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God give it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? What is the purpose of the law? Why the law? Well, the law was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. That's Abraham and that's Christ. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. And you see the impossibility right there. Couldn't give life. Amen. There is only one in this text. that gives life. But the scripture have concluded all under sin that the promise of faith, the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up, that's locked up, until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, back to this question, what serveth the law? Why was the law added? Because of transgression. And add to that, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ. In other words, it was a finger pointing us to Jesus Christ. It show us our hopelessness. It show us our helplessness. It show us that as it is impossible for me to raise myself up to this ceiling with pulling my straps of my boots, so it is impossible to receive eternal life through the law. And given that impossibility, and I'm seeing my hopelessness, then my cry is, who then can be saved? And how then can they be saved? And that good old schoolmaster, the law, points to the cross. That's what Paul is saying. That's the purpose of the law. That's the purpose of the law. To bring us onto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under that old law, that old schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by that very same faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. That don't mean gender preferences. Amen. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, there's that good old apostrophe S that says, I belong. And whenever I see that, good, the reason why I call it that good old apostrophe S is because I remember when I was when I could understand crawling, and my great grandmother would sit over there and she would be quilting. And I would sit under her quilt thing and she would be teaching me my ABCs and my 1, 2, 3s. And she taught me, and she said, whenever you see that apostrophe S, that means there's ownership. It shows ownership. It shows that whatever it's talking about belong to who it's talking about. And there is that good old apostrophe S. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ belong, then are ye Abraham's belong. Seed. Not plural. Singular. Because remember, prior he said, if you've been baptized into Christ, the seed, you have put on Christ. So you are one with God. You are one with Christ. There is union with Christ. And if you have this union with Christ, then you are heirs of the promise according to the promise that God made to Abraham. Amen. Amen. We're going to navigate through all of that. And I'm not going to be before you long. We just want to talk about the eternal security. Amen. By the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And just put a pen there at Genesis chapter 15, because we're going to be turning there also. How y'all doing this morning? Hey, amen. I know I sound like one of those soul singers. How y'all doing out there this morning? Amen. Thank God for Jesus this morning. Amen. 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 This security is important if you are a believer of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's important to know that once you put your trust, your faith in Christ, you're secure. Amen. And we're talking about head knowledge. Yes, that's important. But also experiential knowledge. Amen. That means that you get the head knowledge, and then life throws everything at you, including the kitchen sink, right? And then that knowledge is giving, then God is giving you the opportunity where the rubber meets the road, where head knowledge, knowing that you're secure in Jesus Christ, after you don't quote all the Bible verses you know, and you don't shake your fist in the face of the devil, and you don't tell him how much you rebuke him, when the rubber hits the road, the question is, do you know you're secure? Amen. Because the first sign that you don't really know is, do you fall apart? Amen. Hey, do you pull your hair out of your skull? Amen. Do you sit at the foot of your bed in the nighttime with your face in your palm, wondering where the answer is going to come from? Amen. I'm not saying that won't happen. Amen. What I am saying is that when it happens, God wants you to know you're secure in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's important, because the enemy, he comes, amen, and he wants you to doubt. He wants you to question this faith you've placed in Christ. He wants you to question your relationship with God, if it's genuine. Amen. And he said, brother, if I pinch you, you're supposed to feel that. How come this faith thing, you don't feel it? Amen. Because, listen, somebody asked me that one time, witnessing. He said, but Quincy, am I not supposed to feel it? I mean, I sit in church, I don't feel it. But faith is not a feeling thing. Amen. It's a believing thing. Amen. It's a trusting thing. And faith and belief are two separate things. Amen. You can't get it twisted. And we'll get to the belief part when we get to Genesis chapter 15. And we'll get to the faith part right here. Matter of fact, let's do that right now. Amen. Let's get on with it. Now, Paul says a few things here, and I know I read 15 through the end, but I'm just going to back up a little bit. Paul is perplexed because he's gone to this area and there is a host of churches that he's delivered the gospel message to. And there are people who have believed the gospel message. And I think it's important to continue to point this out, because Paul is not here talking to one church. He's talking and says in chapter 1 and verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me. This is in his greeting, his salutation. He said, unto the churches of Galatia. So clearly he's dealing with more than one church. This is an area problem. And when we went through the book of Daniel, I can remember this territorial angel spirit hovering a specific territory that he had put a claim on and a possession. Amen. And all the havoc that you saw going on in Daniel's life was being caused by the devil in order to stop God's word from going forth. He attacked Daniel. And you see Daniel in the fiery furnace, and you see Daniel in the lion's den, and he got to know it's not about Daniel. Amen. And we see the same thing happening in the New Testament when you come. All the things that we know happened to Paul didn't happen because of Paul. It happened because of the deposit that God has made in Paul's life to take this gospel message to the world. Amen. And even as Pastor Wright pointed out last week, it doesn't specifically say that the devil is behind this, but just putting all these things together, we know it's him. Amen. And I can't help but remember Evangelist Claudia, when we went through the book of Revelation, she pointed this out, how the woman that was chased into the wilderness by the beast, or by the dragon, was representative of the nation Israel. And she was pregnant with child. And the child that she was pregnant with is representative of Christ. Because Christ came as a seed of David out of the nation of Israel. And so even from the beginning, the devil has always been in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ to stop the work that God would do through him. And you saw him at the foot of the cross. You saw him through everything that Christ went through. Amen. You even saw him around Christmas time when Christ was born. And everything that was being done to block this child, these people out. He wanted to know where that star in the sky was pointing to. He wanted to know where that child was. Because the same thing that happened with Moses, he wanted to happen. That was the devil also. And you need to understand that everything you see going on and everything that's happening in the word of God is not about these people that is happening to. It is by the work, the Spirit, Christ in their lives, working to bring about God's will in their lives. And the enemy wants to stop that. And if you don't know that you're secure in Jesus Christ, you will be sitting at the foot of that bed pulling your head out. You need to know that. And Paul came to this church and he preached this gospel. And here that good old devil is at it again. He sent out his agents to go and confuse things. And they came and they said, well, kudos to Paul. Paul preached that justification by faith, by grace alone, through Christ alone. I mean, let me say it right. Justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Yes, faith is good. We need faith. But faith is not enough. And this was the message they were preaching. You need to observe the Mosaic covenant, they said. And this is what Paul is dealing with. That's why you see him dealing with covenant in this text. You need to add to your faith works, because the Mosaic covenant was all about works. What you could do and not what God could do. But the Abrahamic covenant says what God is going to do more so than what you're going to do. And the language God used with Abraham is, I shall. But the Mosaic covenant say, thou shalt. You see the difference? What God is going to do and what you're going to do. And what you do is never enough to bring you into his presence. But what he does is more than enough to bring us into his presence. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you got to believe. And you got to trust in Jesus Christ. And after all of this had happened, some of them begin to believe that message. And Paul is perplexed. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You see, I just have one question for you. There's just one thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? That's a no-brainer, Pastor.
That's a message in and of itself, hearing of faith.
But that's where we're getting at.
That's it.
You see it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. So you see, when he said that the law doesn't give life, you see the one here in the text who does give life.
Come on.
And that's the Spirit. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word of God. So something is happening here. Faith comes by hearing. But the faith comes by the Spirit. The faith is a gift that God gives, and it only comes when we receive the Spirit. It's the Spirit that opens our ears to hear the Word of God. And that's why if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life.
Come on.
Oh, and ye are so foolish, he said. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. And here it is again. He that ministereth to you the Spirit worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Skip down to verse 14, verse 13. And Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is the curse that is forever before our eyes. Whenever we try to obey that law unto righteousness, there's the curse that the law always is reminding us of. You can't get there from here, brother. That's what the law says. The curse from the garden is continually put before our eyes. You can't get that from here. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Notice the language there. The blessing is not coming to the Gentiles. It's coming on the Gentiles. Paul realized something that is not about the many promises that God made through Abraham. Because the many promises does not matter if the one promise don't happen first. And that's the Holy Spirit coming into your heart. The Spirit of Christ. See, if that first promise is not fulfilled, no other promise matters. Because everything comes through Him. The Spirit of Christ. The third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Blessed Holy Spirit. Get there first. Get there first. And you see this happening in the book of Acts. In the Acts of the Apostles, over and over, unless the fire comes and set the place ablaze, nothing they do was worth anything. It's the Holy Spirit. And Christ came that the blessing of Abraham might be on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ, not just the Gentiles, that we might receive what is promised there at the end of that verse. What is promised? Are you reading along with me? What's promised? Say it. What's promised? Oh, well, since y'all not going to read it, let me read it, all right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Through faith. Amen. And I want to move on from there. Let's go to Genesis 15. As I say, I'm not going to be before you too long. So. And so Paul deals with this covenant, right? He goes on from there. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That promise is the Spirit. But is that what God promised to Abraham? Back in Genesis 15? No. God promised the seed, which is Jesus Christ, right? But the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So you see what Paul is doing. When you receive the Spirit, you receive the seed. When you receive the Spirit, you have put on Christ. When you receive the Spirit dispenses the many promises of God.
That's right.
So without the Spirit, you can't get there from here.
That's right. Come on.
And Paul is talking about this, as I said before. The Abrahamic covenant, that means the covenant God made with Abraham versus the covenant that he gave to Moses. And you have to examine the covenant that God gave to Abraham. And now this is, you know, just like God changed Paul's name from Saul to Paul. He changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. So this is before Abraham. We in the land of Abram. Okay? And so, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy what? Shield, and thou exceeding great reward. I am. I, God, I'm your shield. I, God, I'm your reward. I, God, I'm your protection. I, God, I'm your security. You know that little boy that can't go to sleep without his security blanket? You be that little innocent child. Walk this life without your security blanket. God said, I am your security blanket. I'm your shield. I'm your protection. I'll protect you. Once you come into salvation and faith in Jesus Christ, God has made a covenant with you. You are entering into a covenantal relationship. Oh, I believe in a covenant-making God. This one thing that is missing in the church today. God is not preached as a covenant-making God. But it's important. Because the security of people's faith is found in the fact that he makes covenant. Because to his covenant, he's faithful.
That's it. Yes, he is. That's it.
And because of Jesus Christ and the redeeming blood of Christ, he is faithful to do what he says he's going to do.
Oh, yes.
And that's where belief comes in. I'm your shield. I'm your security. I'm your protector. And I am your great reward. Not just your reward. Your exceedingly great reward. Oh, he's more than we need. He's more than enough. Everything else pales in comparison to this great reward. I am your great reward. I can't get past it.
Come on.
I am your great reward. When you receive the Holy Spirit, God is saying, I am your great reward.
Come on.
Everything else don't happen until you receive me. Because I'm your great reward. And many people come into this Christian life looking at God as the genie in the bottle. Rub him the right way so he can bless me. And all these prosperity preachers. Listen, I'm a prosperity preacher too.
Come on, tell me what it is.
I am.
Come on.
I'm not going to lie. But I don't preach how your pockets can get fat. I don't preach how your bank account can get fat. I don't preach how you can drive that Mercedes or how you can own that mansion on the hill. The prosperity I preach is the Holy Ghost, because it's in him that you prosper. If you don't have the exceeding great reward, you will not prosper. Because you can have all those things and lose your soul. Because he said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and in the end lose his soul?
That's it.
What will a man give in exchange?
Come on.
What do you have to offer? What do you have to give as the cause of your redemption? To save your soul, the Lord don't give you anything in that department. The Holy Ghost does. You can't pay the price. What can a man give in exchange? What can you pay to save your soul? Nothing. But you don't need to worry about that. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. What shall a man give in exchange? What shall a man give? Nothing you have to give. But God said, he so loved the world that he gave.
He gave. That's it.
His only begotten son. You don't have to give anything in exchange for your soul. God is your exceeding great reward. He has given you the Spirit of Christ to bring you to Him. To redeem you from the curse of the law. To redeem you from the sting of sin. To redeem you from the bondage of the devil. To redeem us from this present evil world. To redeem us from self.
Come on, come on.
I can't live this Christian life without Him. I can't get to there without Him. I need Him to be my exceeding great reward. I need Him living on the inside. I can't live for God without Him. I need Him to tell me it's going to be all right. My wife can't tell me it like He can. Pastor Wright can't tell me it like he can. I can't tell you it like he can. You need Him living on the inside. Because the word says that when Christ talk about Him coming, when the Spirit of truth come, He will take all that is mine and He will reveal it unto you. Whatever the Father has given me, He will take that and He will reveal it to you. He will take what is mine. The word. Wouldn't you rather Him quoting the word to you than you trying to quote it to yourself? The Holy Spirit on the inside. He's the one that tells me how fearfully and wonderfully made I am.
That's right.
Me saying that to myself don't do nothing. But when God, my exceeding great reward, living on the inside, validates me,
Jesus,
as His child, when He takes this whack, corny. I'm sorry, I was a teenager in the 90s. Your teenagers today, y'all use such words as lit. I don't know such language. In the 90s, we whack.
That's right.
We corny. We tired. That's the life that God took. Quincy's life, and put that apostrophe next to it.
Come on.
He said, you belong to me.
That's it.
I have purchased you with my redeeming blood.
That's it.
I have secured you with my redeeming blood. I am your shield. I am your great exceeding reward. Do you know Him this way?
Come on, come on. That's it.
Do you know Him this way? He made His promise to Abraham. When you get a chance, read Genesis chapter 15. I'm not going to go through all of it. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. What came to him? The word. The word. Isn't that where it always starts?
That's right.
In the beginning. What's the word? It always starts with the word. And so God promised Abraham. You know, Abraham was a businessman. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? And you remember Abraham sitting there negotiating with God, wasn't he? When God said He's going to burn the whole place down. But Abraham, but wait a minute, God, what if? Listen, he went down to Egypt negotiating with Pharaoh. This was the man. And so when you see here, when God come to him, the first thing he asked, well, what are you going to give me, God? Seeing that I don't have anyone to inherit, anyone to carry on my name. God said, Abraham, come outside. Look up in the sky. How many stars you see?
Jesus.
If you can count them,
that's right.
That's how many children you're going to have.
Right.
Come on.
And y'all thought six children I got was too much? Hey, look. Outside of God, Abraham.
Come on, brother.
Many children.
That's right.
Abraham said, God, I want some security. How am I going to know that this promise you're making to me is going to come to pass? And God said, okay. Go get some animals. Get a pigeon. Get a ram. Get these animals, bring them. Abraham takes the animal, he cut them in half. That's how they made covenant in those days. And he laid each cut piece beside each other. And the way they did it was, they made a pact. It's called making a pact. Both parties will cross through those sliced animals. And basically what they were saying, making promise to each other, is that if I go back on this promise, this covenant I'm making, let my fate be the same as these animals. That's basically what they were saying. So, you better be careful what promises you make. In those days, that's what it was like. But Abraham was in a deep sleep, right? And God put Abraham to sleep. And God was the one by himself that walked through those cut animals. He made the covenant with Abraham. And he says in verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety. You want to know how you can be assured that what I'm promising you, I'm going to do? I'm going to make this assurance with you by a covenant. And he says, know this of a surety, that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also after that nation, whom they shall serve, will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou, Abraham, shall go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. In other words, God was saying, you're not going to live long to see this promise fulfilled. You're not going to live. This is why God wasn't talking about Isaac or Jacob. He wasn't talking about David, the ultimate seed. This is what Paul is saying. He's not, when he said his seed, he didn't say seeds in plurality, plural, right? But he says seed, singular, one seed he's talking about, and that's Christ. So you're not going to live to see it happen. It's going to happen thousands of years from now. But in the fourth generation, there it is, they shall come here. Again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. We can get into that by itself. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed in between those pieces. That's the presence of God. This furnace, this smoking furnace, this burning lamp is representative of the presence of God. And this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. This is why what happened in the book of Acts happened the way it did. This is why when Moses was out shepherding Jethro's flock and he looked up to that mountain, he saw that bush on fire. Wherever the presence of God is, there is fire. It represents the presence, and the presence of God went through those sliced pieces. Notice I said both parties would walk through it, but only God walked through it. Not Abraham. He was asleep. Why? Because God was saying, I don't need you to do this thing. I'm going to do it on my own. That's what Paul is talking about. That's the language. The Abrahamic covenant said, I shall. But the Mosaic covenant says, thou shalt. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying unto thy, what? Seed, singular, have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Hit, here comes all these tites. I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. All the tites. So you see the covenant God made with Abraham. You see it. And this is what Paul is dealing with. In this faith. And the Bible says there that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. It was accredited to his account for righteousness because he believed God. So you have the belief and then you have the faith, the hearing of faith that the Holy Spirit brings. What's the difference? Well, the belief is when God has spoken the thing, you trust in his character. You trust in his faithfulness. You trust in the fact that he's God and God all alone. And that he will do whatever it is he said he will do. Why? Because his name is riding on it. His character, his presence, his self, who he is as righteous, as holy, is riding on it. That's your security blanket. That's the belief, trusting God. That's why the old people used to say, taking him at his word. That's what belief is. Faith, on the other hand, is grabbing hold of the thing promised today like it was tangibly in your hand, even though you were not going to receive it till the fourth generation. And that's why Paul could say in the book of Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? The promises. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You don't have the thing tangibly in your hand, but faith is the evidence of the things unseen. And that's why he went through this list of people there in the book of Hebrews. It's come to be called the Hall of Faith. You know, as opposed to the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. Because all these people believed God, took him at his word, even though they did not receive the promise in their lifetime. Oh, church, how blessed are we? We have the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, living on the inside of us. That's why the Bible says, listen, angels and prophets, they wanted to know what time or what manner concerning this salvation. But it is revealed to us. And it is because of the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Bought off the slave market. Purchase of the slave market. Redeem of the slave market. Redemption that Paul talks about is being purchased by a price, never to be sold on the market again. This is encouraging, church. Because when we're secure by the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, we need to know that we cannot be plucked out of his hands. No matter what that devil says to you. How many times you messed up and you saw yourself questioning your faith, your relationship?
Come on.
Did he just come, boy, girl, you done messed up this time. God ain't never gonna forgive you for that. But the Holy Spirit, living on the inside, he said, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Amen. Secure by. Jesus says in John chapter 10. I'm done. But you need to know what voice you're listening to. And you need to be cognizant of the many voices that is speaking. Because in the day we're living in, there are many voices competing for our attention. Never before in the history of humanity has information been so readily available as it is today. There is a competition for your soul. The enemy is competing for your soul. And there are many voices on social media, in the music, in the movies. Check it out, even in the convenience stores. That's right. Just go check out. Look at them magazines. I know they've been there for years. But the lies they tell just from the pictures they put on the front of them. Yeah. The lies they tell our daughters. Look at this supermodel on this magazine. You can be like her. So our daughters bend backwards, trying to look like a lie that they've put before her. Telling her that the natural way that God created her ain't good enough. She can look better than that. Go get this injection. Go get this implant. You have to be very careful what voices you're listening to. Listen to the Spirit of Christ living on the inside. Jesus talking to this religious people. Verse 26 of John chapter 10. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I say unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Security, never. Not might, maybe, probably, depending on what they do or don't do. No, never. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Not even the strong man. And I'm done. I'm going to stop right there. Not even the strong man. You know that strong man that when the house is cleaned up, the Holy Spirit, he comes in, clean up everything. This is why when God cleans up your life, he doesn't just leave the place empty. He puts his Spirit there. Because when the place is empty, the Bible says that old demon that he got rid of comes back, and he bring his posses with him, and your state become worse than it were before. Do you know this Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, as your Redeemer? There was a price paid to purchase your liberty, your freedom. There was a currency required. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The payment, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can't get there from here. You can't give anything in exchange for your soul. You don't need to. Jesus already did. With his blood, he purchased you off for the slave market, never to return. So when you find yourself back in the marketplace, you need to ask yourself the question, because then that's what it becomes, an issue of identity problem. Do I belong here, or do I belong to Christ? Because if you belong to him, you have inherited the promises that God made to Abraham. And the Spirit speak expressively in our hearts, telling us that we are the sons of God. We belong to him. And you see that conflict that happens in you when sin, when you're flirting with sin, that's the Spirit doing his job. The tug of war, that's the Spirit doing his job. In the old days, they put it this way. They had the devil on one shoulder, the spirit on the other, the devil whistling in one ear, the spirit telling you, no, don't do it. Whose voice are you going to listen to? As we stand, redeem, secure, somebody here may not know him that way, and this is an opportunity to get to know him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, I didn't make any sense, but I trust you can take that which make no sense and speak to someone's heart. So I pray that you will have your way in the heart of everyone who have sat listening to the word. I pray for encouragement for those who believe to just run a little while longer and trusting that you are working things out no matter what it is that's going on in our lives. We can know for certain that you are working it out. Help us not to be like these old foolish Galatians who went back to the old being bewitched by the law, going back to the slave market when we had received the Spirit by the hearing of faith and not by the works of the law. Help us to know that it is in you that we find our eternal security. Covered under the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Not by our own good merit, but by the merits of Jesus Christ. Trusting in his finished work on Calvary's cross. Trusting in his finished work in the resurrection. Trusting in his finished work even in the ascension, where he is now seated at your right hand, where he ever liveth to make intercession on our behalf. He's done it all for us. And all you require is that we take you at your word and receive what you promised by faith. And you will save us from our sins. Cover us with your blood. It's not that complicated. We don't need to jump through hoops. You've done it all for us, God. And we say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. And we pray for that person that don't know you this way, that right where they sit can believe and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, and receive his Spirit in their heart so that he can dispense your many promises throughout their lives and know for certain that they belong to your Son, Jesus Christ. Have your way. Go with us. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If he clothe the lily of the valley with beauty and splendor, how much more will he not give us everything we need? He is our exceeding
let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for the word of God. Amen. Eternal security by the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for the word, just pinpointing to our hearts. Amen. As it spoke to us through faith, the covenant that God made with us, not based on anything we could do to earn or merit it. What kind of love? Y'all, what kind of love is this that God would have for us? What kind of love? What manner of love? To redeem us from the slave market of sin. Not anything in our hands that we can bring to earn it or to merit it. But it's the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm just going to say, if the Lord has spoke to your heart and you want to accept him into your heart, even through the prayer that was already prayed, you can come forth. Amen. You can come forth. Amen. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Amen. Is there one? We're going to just close out with a word of prayer. Those that want to come for prayer, you can just come right now. And we're going to close out with this, just a word of prayer. Amen. Come on, come on and come. Come on and come. Amen. Is there another? Song says, I love the Lord and I lift my voice to worship, to worship you, oh my soul. That's it.